Welcome back to the Golf Shop. Mark Greenhouse, Mike Frasina. This segment is brought to you by Greensboro Tractor. Mow like a pro. Get the Kubota Commander from Greensboro Tractor. It's the homeowner's ultimate zero-turn radius mower. Greensboro Tractor and Kubota make jobs easier. Log on to greensborotractor.com. Joining us now, we have from up at TPC Boston, home of the Deutsche Bank, we have the head golf professional, Mark Novoselsky, joining us. Mark, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Hey, thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's going great. I was sitting here checking out the leaderboard from last year's tournament, and we're in a Ryder Cup year. We've got some guys battling that are on the outside looking in, and I see a lot of those names at the top of your leaderboard. Does it set up good for guys like, obviously, your defending champion, Ricky Fowler, but yeah, Jim Furyk, Patrick Reed, Matt Kuchar, Bubba Watson's been in the mix before. Seems like this golf course kind of sets up for not just a specific type of game, but maybe just somebody's playing really well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the telltale is our past champion list. That's Adam Scott, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Steve Stricker, Ricky Fowler, Webb Simpson, all past Ryder Cup players seem to play well this time of year coming up to our place.
So when you start talking about maybe the style of game that does fit this golf course, if you gave somebody an advantage, is it somebody that's bombing it out there? Is it somebody who's a really good putter or maybe a ball striker, iron player, somebody that can scramble around? Coming into this year, looking at the conditions, what do you think? What do you think is going to be the guy that rises to the top?
You know what? Yes, the guys who hit it far, and it'll tell you it's the guys who can make the putts, and yes, the guys who make the putts, and they'll tell you the guys who hit it far have the advantage. I think there's a good mixture, a good variety in our course. There's a definitely some holes that favor the long hitters, but some good smooth putting surfaces that you can see pretty much anybody make some good scores out there throughout the week.
So how's the course shaping up? How are the conditions? I know coming out of that crazy winter of 14-15, everything was a sort of a crapshoot, and then you had a little bit more of a mild winter this past winter. How's the course in terms of conditions?
Yeah, the course is fantastic. We opened up about a month earlier this year than we did last year, coming out of that tough winter. The Northeast has kind of gone through a little bit of a drought here the last 2 months, but our superintendent's done a great job of keeping everything watered. A lot of our staff out there doing hand watering to ensure that this week it looks fantastic.
Well, Mark and I are both from Massachusetts. He's from down on the South Shore. I'm from Lexington, and I have a house in Maine. We're New Englanders, and you have a tournament in Connecticut, and you've got your tournament, and yes, the window is small, but New England needs to host more tournaments.
Yeah, there's a lot of great venues up here, and I think what makes us a little bit different from some of the other clubs in the area is they're 100 plus years old, And they might not be built to hold an event of a playoff PGA Tour magnitude type scale. So I do think that gives us kind of a distinct advantage in the area where we do have the ability to host the event.
Well, how would you describe golf in New England? I know short season would be the first thing you'd say, but then how would you describe golfing in New England? I mean, there's so much variety, but there are certain things that are benchmarks of a round of golf at any course in New England. How would you describe it to people who maybe haven't been?
Yeah, New England golf is fantastic. I've been here 10 years now, and just taking my time to go around and play some of the other courses. As you guys can attest to, New England, it's a walking environment, not very far from tee to green. So you see the holes roll into each other, and not too often that you might be yelling for that you're hitting it on the next fairway as the hole goes back to back, but. When we had our redesign in 2006 with Gil Hands, he did a great job of visiting some of the other New England courses to really try and implement some of the New England features with the fine fescue and the chocolate drop mounds that put in the right spots can make the golf course extremely difficult.
All right, so last year we kind of had three guys get away from the field. Ricky Fowler finished at 15 under, Stenson at 14, Charlie Hoffman at 11. The next was a bunch of guys at 8. From a numbers and under par perspective, I mean, do you feel like 15's in the wheelhouse, or are we going to go a little higher, a little lower? Where do you think a good number come Sunday afternoon is going to fit in?
We've seen anywhere from 14, 15 all the way up to 22, 23 win the event. You know, it really depends on the weather. What we've seen, especially last year, is a little bit firmer conditions and a little bit windier. So if that's the case, then I think we see some higher scores in the 14-15 window. But, you know, if we do happen to get some rain, a little bit softer conditions, a little better scoring conditions, we see those scores go a little lower to that 20, 21, 22 under. So, you know, really depends on the condition that we get. Looking at the extended forecast, it looks like we're going to have a great dry week. So, you know, I look forward to the course holding its own and, you know, challenging to all the players out there.
All right, we're on with Mark Nowoselski from TPC Boston, soon to host the Deutsche Bank. And I'm looking at the scorecard up there at TPC Boston, and I'm wondering, you know, as I ask a lot of the guys who come on, where are we going to see players maybe, you know, get some good holes in, and then where are we going to see the carnage? I do love carnage.
You know, so kind of from my, you know, background here, and I'm not sure who said it or who coined it, but they'll tell you, go out there and get after the first four holes, and coming in, get after the last four holes, but those 10 holes in between, hold on to your seat. So the first four holes, a par five in the second hole and a drivable par four on the fourth, get you some scoring opportunities there, as well as coming in a short par three, 16th, and a par five on the 18th. You know, gives a chance on the first four and the last four for a variety of scoring options, but the 10 in between, some longer par fours and par fives, measuring, you know, 460, 470, and a 600-yard par five. So the middle 10 will give you all you got.
Yeah, I mean, the 18th hole there seems to be, like, one of the better finishing holes that I see on tour, because if you hit a good tee shot, it gives you the ability to go for the green. If you hit, if you hit a really good second shot, you've got an eagle opportunity. But a lot of guys that go for that green and two walk away with five. So it's very interesting to see that risk reward, but it's more of a, you really got to hit two good shots to give yourself a chance for eagle and to make an easy birdie. But like I said, there's a lot of fives made there, aren't there? And some sixes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we saw Gil come in and redesign the green a couple of years ago, and we've seen the scoring average stay relatively the same. But at the same time, the players thinking a lot about their second shot into the green. Now that we have kind of a runoff off the left side, it leaves players who hit that second shot maybe just a little bit long with the option, do I chip, do I putt? So while we've seen the scoring average the same, we've seen a lot more thought go into playing that 18th hole.
Yeah, Mark, I'm curious, looking at that tough stretch you're talking about in the middle, you've got the 600-yard par 5, number 7, and then there's a 213, 215-yard par 3, and you start the backside and you get to number 11, there's another long par 3, 231 yards. For tour players, do they fear those long par 3s that can be so tricky, or more the 600-yard par 5?
No, I think it's a variety of both. You know, the tour players have no issue hitting that 4 and 5 iron, 210, 215 yards. The green surfaces are relatively big on those par 3s. It's just making sure that you're not getting yourself in trouble with the short side or getting in the wrong zone of the green that could be conducive to a 3-putt. 600-yard par 5, you definitely have to hit two or three good shots to get it up there in the green to give yourself a good birdie chance.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit, Mark. I want to know, up there in New England, when people are coming in and you and your staff up there are giving lessons to these guys and ladies up there and even juniors, what are they asking you for when they come in? They're coming in and they're saying, Mark, my game needs help where? What's kind of the common theme you're seeing?
You know, everything that everybody wants is more distance. Ugh. And, you know, we throw somebody on the launch monitor and tell them they're hitting at 240, and they say, that can't be right, I hit at 275. So it's always working with people and trying to find, that little bit of extra distance they're looking for to make that second shot in just a little shorter.
I mean, we all know chicks dig the long ball. I mean, that created baseball careers during the steroid era. I get it. But do you have any magic way to transfer that thought and get these people to transition and understand that, you know, shaving two or three strokes off your round is way more valuable than 15 yards on your drive?
Oh, no question. you know, I more times than not, I don't give somebody a single lesson. I'm giving them a package of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 lessons. We're working on a variety of different things. But, you know, I always tell them to expect the biggest handicap improvement in the short game. You know, the chipping, the putting, and, you know, learning the variety of different shots around the green and how the ball is going to react when it lands so you can set yourself up for an easier putt or, you know, avoid 3 putts.
So let me ask you this. On the anchoring ban that went into effect this year, I mean, did you guys have a bunch of people that had to change how they putted? And have you heard any backlash from that decision by the RNA and USGA?
No, we actually, had very few players that used an anchored putter. And, a couple of people, don't understand why, but we really haven't seen any backlash. And, we've seen those people transition to standard length putters and, haven't seen handicaps change. So whether people think it's a good change or not, I think we didn't see much of effect from our day-to-day membership in their play.
Yeah, and these guys are from New England, the day-to-day recreational player. He doesn't care. I'm not changing anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the putter that I want to use.
Exactly.
All right, so Tom Brady has 4 weeks off at the beginning of the NFL season. is he coming by to get some lessons in those 4 free weeks just to keep himself occupied?
If he's taking lessons, he's not coming to see us. So,
man, it's got to be tough up there. You know, you got the Patriots. Hopefully we're going to have a good season with them boys up here. We got the Carolina Panthers down here, coming off a Super Bowl loss. Is everybody starting to get a little bit of buzz going on with NFL getting ready to kick it off?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with the stadium being about 15 minutes away from the club, we'll start seeing some Sundays in September and October where come 1 o'clock the golf course gets pretty quiet.
Oh, so there are tee times available during Patriots games. That is a common refrain in New England.
Yeah, they're available, but, often go unused by our members.
All right, so I want to take you back out to the practice range. If you have a recreational player, he's an 18 handicap, whatever, and, you were going to guide him through a one-hour practice session, how would you divide that hour for him? I mean, obviously it's not 2 buckets of drivers.
Yeah, no question. Obviously when you're giving somebody a lesson, you want to get them confident in their golf swing. So usually your shorter club, your irons, your wedges are a little bit easier to hit. So I'll tend to start with a wedge, get them, swinging, getting through the right motion. They tend to make a little bit better contact with the wedge. And then from there, we'll kind of work our way up through the bag. If there's any specific problem areas with, say a fairway woods, hybrids or drivers, we might hit a couple irons and then switch immediately to that, kind of what they want to focus on. Really start them off on the right foot with some easier shots to hit to get some confidence. And then, we tend to see that carry throughout the bag and throughout the remainder of the lesson.
All right, before we let you go, do you have a magic tip? What's the thing that you've told the most students that has led to an aha moment?
The thing that I think I've told the most students is, you got all your guys and gals that have read Golf Digest and I got to do this and I got to clear my hips and do this. And that's stuff that, tour players are doing. The people that myself, you guys that are coming to me to take lessons, they don't have the hand-eye coordination, the power that a PGA Tour player has. So I think, more often than not, we see people fading the golf ball because they're throwing their whole left sides open. So I try and get people to swing a little bit more with their arms to just try and get everything a little timed up. And I can see that ball fading off to the right, get pretty straight real quick by just getting the arms and body in sync by just swinging the arms a little bit faster.
All right. Well, there you have it. Mark, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to a great tournament up there.
Guys, thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
That was Mark Novoselsky, the head golf professional up at TPC Boston. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to have John McGuire of Game Golf's going to join us. Mark Greenhalgh, Mike Fersina, you're listening to the Golf Shop Radio Network.